Well, today is my cowboy day. I don't have my horse. I'm a man without a horse. So I brought my sawhorse. So there we go. I've got my horse. I'm ready to go now. I looked it up online. I Googled it. I love Google. I Googled in, what does every man want? That's probably not a good thing to Google on the internet. I got some answers. One of the number ones was Viagra. Another one was testosterone. Every man wants testosterone because when he gets older, after he gets over the age of 45, he loses most of his testosterone, which is his drive, his ability, it's the stuff that keeps your belly from getting fat in it. I'm 49-ish, 8-ish, somewhere. I'm like, oh, and that was in there. Another thing in there was men want a life love, someone to spend their life with. That was in there. I thought that was interesting. There were some really weird answers. One was every man want what a man really wants is to cuddle. Who said that? There's your cuddler right there. Yeah, the ladies are going, yes. All the guys are like, I don't know about that. I'll take the man card. Cuddling, really? In fact, the Kinsey Institute followed 1,000 men from 4 different nations, and they found that they said men, not women, men's happiness, more than women's happiness, is dependent on hugging, cuddling, and kissing. Men more than women. You can get anything off the internet these days. I don't know how true that is. I'm going, really? I mean, come on, guys, really? Do you look at your wife and you go, I just need to hold your hand. Would you just cuddle with me? Don't hear that too often. At least in my counseling sessions I'm doing, I don't hear that too often. So that's what you hear. And then Abraham Maslow, he had what's called, if you're a psychologist or you took Psych 101 and now you're a professional counselor because you took a psych class your freshman year of college, Abraham Maslow came up with the hierarchy of needs. It's like a pyramid. And at the bottom of the pyramids, he has foundational needs. You know, a man needs water, air, football. Wait, water, football, air, something like that. Anyway, water, air, and food. And then it just climbs up, and it gets to the top, and Maslow says the highest need of every man is self-actualization. What? And his critics, and I can understand his critics, so the guy's highest, our highest need, guys, is to be aware that we are. That's what self-actualization is, the understanding that you are. And that's what Maslow said. His critics said this. He missed it. In fact, let me just quote one of his great, most of his critics said this. They said, he may have overlooked the most essential need of a man, quote, to feel alive, unquote. Now, I agree with that. In fact, the reason I agree with that is because a guy by the name of Billy Crystal and a bunch of city slickers, when they lost the identity of who they were as men, they decided to go and find a horse. Remember that movie a long time ago, Billy Crystal and his guys? Yeah, as Curly Joe said, there's just one thing that you got to find. What is that one thing? And they got on horses. That's what they did. They got on horses to go find that one thing because every man needs a horse. It's true. And to be a man, they said, we got to go on a cattle drive. And so this morning, you may be a man without a horse. You're not sure what life's all about. You've lost that meaning. I love it. I love what the critics said. To feel alive. And that's what it says in Genesis. I went back, as Pastor Ron said, we are going right to the beginning. When God created Adam, he said to Adam, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you purpose. And if you look in there, the Bible's very clear, and it says, and he breathed into Adam, into his nostrils, in verse 7. It says, he breathed into his nostrils. What does that say? It breathed into his nostrils. What do you breathe into nostrils? Breath of life. And he became, there it is. No wonder why Maslow missed it and his critics were critical. I wonder if his critics have read the Bible, because that's where the answer is. And man became alive. Gentlemen, I'm closing out the series today. I don't know if I'll ever see you again. Sometimes, what does that mean? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but I'm guaranteed today. And I want to tell every one of you men in this room, and ladies, don't miss this either. When God breathes into you, you are alive. That's what every man and woman needs today. We need to be alive. And I think we're missing it. My father, it's interesting. Because if you ever catch him after about 8 p.m. in his recliner at the farmhouse in front of his 60-inch TV, you have to have one when you get older, I guess. You will not find anything else on his television except the Western Channel. I'm getting some testimonies. We're going to have some running in the aisles. People are going to get saved. The Western Channel. I don't care what else. I don't care if the Minnesota Vikings are on. He's not going to watch it. It doesn't matter. It is going to be Western 24/7. Every John Wayne movie ever made, every Clint Eastwood movie ever made. He always tells me, I was born in the wrong century. He said, I should have been in the Calvary. Every man, at least for him, every man needs his horse. He wants to be alive. And if it's a horse you need, if you're a man without a horse today, I want to let you know that God has a horse for you. It's time to man up and go ahead and grab that. A lot of us, how many of you went out and saw the movie Courageous over this last week? Wow. Was that an awesome movie, guys? What an incredible show. I'm so proud of you guys that have seen it. If you have not seen that, you need to get a part of being in an epic life. That's what the word epic means. It means a heroic life, finding a place where you can become a living being again. And that's what God calls us to today. He wants us to be alive. He wants us to be living beings. My father said, I was born in the wrong century. I needed a horse. And I said, yeah, you probably are. You do need a horse. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when it says that God breathed into man and he became a living being, he became alive. Think about this. Before that moment, before God breathed into Adam, that life into him, what did God do? He created everything, didn't he? On day one, he begins to create. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you realize what he's created for us? He has created for us everything there is that we can be alive. He's created the horse for us to ride on, gentlemen. Ladies, think about this. Before Adam even existed, God created the universe. God created the earth. He began to put together oceans. Have you ever stood by the ocean? It's a beautiful thing. He began creating mountains, a Grand Canyon. He created crevices. He laid out stars at night that shoot and beam through the universe. He made planets that we can stare at and be in wonder. He made trees that can be three different colors, all on the same branch. He made the Leviathan. He made incredible whales and cougars and lions and gigantic steeds. And he made all of this stuff. He made the rain, and then he made the snow, and he made whitewater rafting, and he made bungee cords, and he made parachutes, and he made bumblebees, and scientists said they shouldn't fly, and God says, that's okay, I'll make them anyway. I want you just to stare at all. And not only did I make all of this stuff, but then I made man in the wilderness, and I put him right in the center of it all. Why did he make it all? Because he made us to be alive. That's why God made us. God made Adam. And he said, look what I've made for you to explore and be a part of. I love today because it's today. And it will never be like yesterday. Today is the only day like today. Today, nothing that has ever happened to you will be exactly the same. It's a brand new day. The weather will not be the same. Your conversations are not the same. God made today for you. He made you alive, ladies and gentlemen. He made you alive to, and He breathed life into us. And I think it's an incredible thing to be alive. Many men are without a horse today. You might be a horse, or no, you might be a horse. I'm done. You might be a man without a horse this morning because something happened. Here's Adam in this incredible place, and God says, here's the adventure of a lifetime, and in the middle of it all, he broke it. Adam broke what God had given him, and it was, and man's adventure changed. Man's life became death. And we go through life, and you wake up, and you look in the mirror, and you go, oh, there's another age spot. Oh, is that cancer? You wake up, and the kids are going to school, and they didn't make it. You wake up, and mom went to be with the Lord. You wake up, and the job is gone. You wake up, and all of a sudden, life has passed you by, and the kids have grown up, and you think to yourself, where did the time go? They were just babies a minute ago. Adam broke everything. And then when God came and says, what did you do? And just like a child, when God says, what did you do? He looked and he goes, I don't know, I didn't do it. Who broke it? She did. You know he was broken because now, just like today, he's still blaming the woman for everything. And that's why the movie Courageous is so important. It's time for men to have a resolution. It's time for men to say, enough is enough. I don't care what she's done. I don't care what my boss has done. I don't care what's going on. I will take responsibility for myself, and I will take responsibility for this, and I will stand up, and I will be a part of it, and I will be counted. I'm alive. God has breathed into me. That's what life is all about. And God created all this, and Adam broke it. And then God, in all of his infinite wisdom, said, I knew you were going to drop it. You know, it's like you hand something to a kid, and you go, here, be very careful with it. And then they drop it. God says, I knew you were going to drop it. Well, then why did you give it to me? Well, because I knew you'd drop it. Well, what are we going to do here? I'm going to fix it. And he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to fix everything. And can I tell you something this morning? You might be a man without a horse. You might be a man without a horse this morning. You're sitting there, and the only reason that you're in church is because it's Sunday. That's sad. That is sad that if that's the only reason you're in church. You're a man without a horse. You know, Jesus Christ did not die for my... Jesus didn't die for me to sit in a chair for an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday morning. That's a sad place to be. I feel sorry for you. I really do. Not in a bad way. I'm not being condescending. Please don't get me wrong here. I just feel sorry for you. If the only reason that you're sitting here today is because it's Sunday, you've missed it. You see, I came this morning to get on my horse. I came this morning to man up. I came this morning because of the adventure. I came this morning because I get to get on a plateau on this mountain climb, and I get to stop every Sunday, as the Scripture says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and on the seventh day, God rested, and he looked back on the things he had done for 6 days, and he looked and he says, that's some good stuff. Now, if you can't come in here today and man up and understand what I'm saying, let me explain to you this way. This morning, I came in here to climb up to a plateau. It is the Sabbath day. It is my Shabbat. It is the Lord's day. The reason it's the Lord's day and I come into this morning is I came in to get on my horse and man up. I've climbed up to a plateau, and I look back on this week and I go, man, this is what God has done in my last 6 days. I got to witness that gal at that counter. There was someone who needed some help, and they had no hope. We were able to bless a family. I had to do this. My car broke down. Whew. My other car broke down. Whew. I had to get both of them fixed. Whew. My kids are in college. Whew. They call and they go, oh, we need some money. I go, oh, I look back on the whole week. I look back on the whole week this morning, and I go, praise God. This is the air I breathe. This is my daily bread. And I look back on the week just like God. I climb up on the plateau. I look down on the valley, and I go, this is what God has done this week. That's why I come to church on Sunday morning. I'm a man with a horse. You with me? What's the purpose of a man? To get on a horse. John Eldridge in his book, Wild at Heart, I had one of my staff guys fly out to Colorado. I got to spend a week with John Eldridge and a few other men in Colorado in the mountains. John Eldridge is probably one of those epic guys. If it can be done, he will do it. He's one of those guys that he said there's three purposes for a man, born in the heart of every man. A battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. And my guy that went out there and spent, this pastor that spent the week with him, he says, you know what? My boss, Pastor Mitch, is writing, kind of putting together a little booklet. And he's been teaching that he thinks in the heart of every teenager, he's a youth pastor, in the heart of every teenager is three things too. And it's amazing that the book came out and we were trying to coordinate something together for teenagers, because I said there's three things every teenager needs to know, three choices that they'll make, every man that ever lived. And that's the master, mission, and mate. And I've been teaching this for 20 years. The master, the battle to fight, the mission, the adventure to live, the mate, the beauty to rescue. Isn't it interesting that God kind of has those things working through his scripture? And so this morning, if you're going to man up, if you're going to get a horse, then I think those three things need to happen in our lives. So you want a horse this morning? There's a couple things you need. Number one, you need some stirrups. You ever ride a horse? There you go. Woo! You need some stirrups. You know why you need stirrups? Because that horse is going to run. If you've ever been on a horse that runs and you don't have stirrups, that is not a fun life. I look at these two stirrups as mercy and grace. I'm going to put one foot into mercy, because here it is. There's a battle to fight, gentlemen. And you will need mercy. You know, mercy, as we shared it last week, mercy is getting what you don't deserve. And I'll tell you what, if you're going to have a horse with God, you need to understand, Peter said this, God has mercy and grace in abundance for you, which is good. Because when I battle, I want to have stirrups, so I'm not bouncing all over the place. First horse I ever rode was a Shetland pony in California, bareback, as the passenger. I hate Shetland ponies. But more than that, I hate sitting on the back of this thing. I was bareback. They weren't. They were on the saddle. I just held on to the back of the saddle. If you've ever done that, it's like, well, why don't they make double saddles? You ever think about, you don't ever see doubles. I mean, you got doubles on Harleys, right? You got double tandem bikes. Oh, no, if you're going to cowboy up, you're going to man up. Mercy and grace. There's mercy and there's grace. Grace is not getting what you deserve. And I tell you what, there's a battle that we are engaged in, gentlemen, every day of our lives. There's a battle that we're engaged in. There are weapons. You know, you think about this. Battle to fight, adventure to live, and beauty to rescue. That has been the story, the epic story of every great movie, of every culture, of any generation. Cowboys. They got a battle to fight. You know, you always see them on, they're always charging somewhere, blowing their trumpet, fighting someone. They've got an adventure. They're always going somewhere. They're out there. They're under the stars. They got a beauty to rescue. Somebody rides off into the sunset, right? We'll go back to pirates. There's a battle. They've got their cannons and their ships. There's an adventure. Somebody's got a map looking for a treasure. And there's someone to rescue. Someone's going to get hung. You got to go rescue. You better get your rescue. Go back to the time, the medieval time, and knights. There's a knight with his sword. There's a battle going on. There's an adventure, a quest. He's going somewhere. And there's always a damsel that needs to be rescued. Let's take the church. There's a battle going on. Satan and a third of the angels fell from heaven. They're known as demons, and they will strike right at the heart of your family. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus very clearly defined this battle in our lives, and he said, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. There's the battle. There's a battle to be fought. We have that within the church. There's a constant clashing of the sword. There's an adventure in the church. God says, I know the plans I have for you. You have a purpose. You see, God didn't just go, well, here's an accident. I'm not sure what to do with Bob. Bob, I never saw that coming. Never had a clue. What am I going to do with Bob? No, the Bible says before the foundations of the earth, he knew you, and he knew you. He knew every one of you, and he had a purpose. He gave you spiritual gifts. He gave you talents. He gave you abilities. And he said, I'm going to have you born, and I'm going to have you here, and here's what I'd love to have you. There is an adventure to be lived, and there is a rescue going on. You know, there's always this beauty to rescue. Well, who's going to be rescued? Well, the bride. Go rescue the bride of Christ. There are people who are dying. Go save them. So there is this epic adventure. You've got mercy and grace in this battle. And if you get your mercy and grace in the battle, then you ought to grab life by the horns. Get a hold of that horn. Hold on. Why is it that every man is fascinated with horses and guns and ball games and cars and motorcycles and or cuddling? Why is it that men have this sense of adventure? You say they don't have a sense of adventure. Then how come we're all identifying and we're feeling pretty good because our Lions are doing so well, Michigan State's doing so well, the Tigers are doing pretty good? Why are we identifying with them? Because we all want to identify with a hero. I talk to parents all the time. They're so sick of their kids getting addicted to video games, Halo and Call of Duty and all these other things. And they go, what do I do with my kids? I said, you're not going to do anything to get them unaddicted to those video games. What are you talking about? I thought you worked with kids for 25 years. I said, I did. I do still. Well, what am I supposed to do? I said, the only way to get them off of those, do you know why they're playing those video games? Because they grabbed life by the horns. They want an adventure. The Halo game gives them the battle that they are looking for, and they get to be the hero in their own story. No wonder why they identify. No wonder why Monday night when we meet next door, we can watch football games together. Because men want to be heroes in the story. I'm not even playing for the Lions. They don't even know who I am, but I'm watching them and rooting for them and taking 3 hours of my life up. Because it's a story. And while I can't maybe have a reality in that story, I'll have a fantasy in that story. That's why kids play video games. Because if you gave them the reality of that story, they wouldn't have time to play the video games. Grab life by the horns. I did. I went to Wyoming. That's why Wyoming is so great. You can grab life by the horns. The owner, Wes Walton, good friend of mine, just talked to his wife the other day. They said, we want to be more family-oriented. If you want to go out there, they've got family cabins set up. Just go on out there. We can get you hooked up. We take groups out there about every 3-4 years. Years ago, in the rodeo, they would bring in bulls. His sons were high school rodeo. You can letter in high school riding on a bull. That's a letter. And his boys were phenomenal. Wes is the national pistol shooting champion off of the back of a horse. He is a cowboy of cowboys. He's one of my heroes. And one day he came, he says, we're going to have this rodeo on Friday night like we do, and this was years ago, and he said, we have these bulls. We're going to have 8 rides in the rodeo. Now, we're going to have the guys from the high school, my sons and their buddies, they're going to ride, but we always have room for one guy who's over the age of 18 that won't sue us and sign a waiver. But you got to make sure it's not one of your drivers in case he can't drive home. And of course, me being me, I wanted a horse. I signed up. And I remember getting in the chute. I remember getting in there, climbing up, and I had my hat. I looked like a cowboy. I had my scarf. They gave me a leather glove. I got up in the chute, and he said, you only need to know 2 things. This wasn't City Slickers. It's 2 things. I said, okay, 2 things. He said, number 1, keep your boots, your toes pointed out. said, okay, I can do that. He said, number two, when you get bucked off, as you're going off, he said, just swing your arm and it'll take you back up, just like on a bicycle. And I thought to myself, what kind of bicycles do you ride in Wyoming? Because usually, I mean, go down the street, it's a nice day, some of you may even go for a bike ride. I don't see too many people doing this on their bikes. But in Wyoming, apparently, it's very common. And I said, I can do that. And he says, oh, by the way, when you're done, just let go. The rope will loosen up that's tied down to the bottom side of this cow that's making him very irritated. Cow, he's a bull. And number two, he won't try to stab you with his horns. I got on that thing. He strapped me down. I got down there, and he said, you're ready? Nod. I nodded. The gate opened, and the bull went that way. As he came out, everything went into super slow motion, except me. Everything slowed down, and we came out, and after about four or five of these kicks and kicks and kicks, and as I was being thrown in like a rag doll, I was going that way, and the bull was going that way. I decided to use my bicycle skills. I threw my hand in the air, and I was back on top of the bull. I thought, wow, okay. As the kids in the youth group are screaming from the fan stands or the grandstands, and my wife's going, no, I'm on this bull. He starts going towards the gate after about 7 seconds, and he can't get me off, and I'm thinking, I'm going to make it. I can see he's about to crush my leg, and I thought, okay, rule number two, let go. As I went to let go, sure enough, he bucked, and the whole rope went loose. I thought, I just don't want to be caught up in one of these things. I've seen video on Wide World of Sports, and I don't want to be on the video. And I let go, and everything loosened, and sure enough, I slid as he went down like this, and the back end went up. I slid and went up to the top. He came down and bucked one more time, and I did a 360 off the backside of the bull. I landed like this with hat down on the ground and stuff from my boots up to my rear end from something from the backside of the bull. His tail. Stuff. As I sat there, I realized that Wes didn't know anything about bicycles, and he also didn't know anything about this bull. Because the bull turned around and stuck his horns right in my face. And I did what you do if you're falling off of a bicycle. You grab the handlebars. So I reached up to grab the handlebars, thinking, he can't stab me now. City slickers. As I reached up, one of the guys, the rodeo clowns, came up, got his attention. He swung around as quick as he could, and he was gone just that fast. I got up, brushed myself off, realized I was alive this side of heaven, and thought, wow, I feel alive. I don't ever want to do that again. But I will say this. What causes a man, one day, because I wasn't the first, but I'd like to know who the first guy was that looked at this 3,000-pound bull with these gigantic horns, snorting and shooting snot, digging into the ground, and the guy says, hey, we ought to ride that. Somebody had the brilliant idea. And then, how did they get on that thing? Run faster and jump. Men are looking for a horse. They're looking to be alive. And I submit to you that sometimes the church, the bride of Christ and its feminine gender, has demasculated men. And men look at Christ and they look at the Word of God and they look at the Savior of the world and they go to church and they sit and they listen to a sermon about things that don't even relate to their lives. No wonder why men aren't so excited on Sunday morning to get up and go to church. No wonder why their kids are like, well, I'll go with mom and dad, but when I graduate, 80% of teenagers will not go to church. 80% will abandon their faith within 1 year of college. No wonder. Tell you what, Join me and grab life by the horns. There is a battle going on, and we're here to rescue people. Put your foot in mercy. Put your foot in grace. Grab a hold of the adventure of the lifetime. And then, let's go rescue the beauty. She needs rescuing. All I'm going to say to you is this. God gave us a rope. Let's use it. This is my lifeline. I have one lifeline. And I see a brother in need, and I say, hey, brother, I want to tell you about the greatest thing in your life. Death has been conquered in your life. When you go to the grave, you're not going to be 6 feet on the wrong side of that dirt. You're going to be raised with Christ for eternity. You want a horse? And I'll throw him that line to rescue him. Let's start rescuing the beauty. And you're going to hear me say this. You're going to hear me say this all through October and all through November. And maybe you'll get so tired of it, you'll say, you know what, fine, to get the pastor, leave me alone. I'm just going to do it. Go get your quota. Each one, reach one. Everybody, go save somebody. One person, that's all I'm asking. You save one person before Christmas time. Don't let another Christmas, don't let another mass of Christ. Someone asked me, you know, Christmas this year is on a Sunday. Are we having church? I said, well, I wouldn't want to get in the way of having the Mass of Christ or Christmas. Yeah, I'll be there if you want to show up. And there are churches that are talking about not having it because it's too much work for the nurseries and for the ushers and the greeters and the sound people. There are lots of churches shutting down for Christmas. Grab a hold of a rope. And get a quota. Go get someone saved. Go reach someone. You can bring him here, which is great. Get a rope on him and save him. There's a beauty to rescue, and she's called the Bride of Christ. Join me in rescuing people. And here it is, and you're going to hear it. Here's my quota. Everyone needs to reach someone. I'd like to see 500 people by Christmas. 500 people in here. You can't fit 500 in here. So we'll have two services. But I'd like you to bring someone with you. Start praying, start asking. You need to go get someone. Listen, if you guys will do that, we'll make our quota. We'll get a bonus. All of you guys are going to get a bonus at church, okay? Listen, when I was down at Speedway, I told you guys this last week, and you're going to get tired of me saying it, but the gal down there kept trying to sell me a pizza slice, and I'd already had my Subway. I was just getting my pop and my chips, and she said, we've got pizza on sale. I said, I know you got pizza on sale. She said, why don't you buy two slices of pizza? We're trying to make our quota. I said, I don't want any pizza. She goes, you know our pizza's on sale today. I said, I know. I don't want your pizza. She goes, do you have your Speedy Rewards card? I said, I got my Speedy's reward card. You know that with your rewards card, if you buy two slices of pizza, you can get an extra 1,000 bonus points on your card. I said, I don't want any pizza. She says, okay. She says, you know, our sale's on till midnight tomorrow night. You can come in and get some pizza. I don't want pizza. And she said to me, everyone you know, go ahead and let them know. We'll be here till midnight tomorrow. You can still come in and get it. She's selling pizza to get a bonus. I'm trying to get people to heaven to an escape an eternity in hell. I've got a bonus for you guys. I've got a place for you to join. Would you like to rescue a beauty with me? There are beauties out there that need to be rescued. God has created every one of us, and he has a plan. Adam broke it, and Jesus fixed it. Join me in rescuing people. That's what I have to say to you. And my final thing is this. If you don't have a horse today, I've got a horse on the way. I was going to ride one today, but I guarantee you, with my luck and the way God works, he'd have had the sense of humor to let that horse leave a few gifts for you. And I said, I can't do that. I would have sat on the horse and preached it. I don't want to do it just for the sake of doing it, so a saddle was good enough. Thank you, Brother Jim. But I have a horse on the way. And you know who's bringing me my horse? His name is Jesus. And I want to show you this scripture in Revelation. It's an awesome scripture. It's not a good scripture. It's an awesome scripture. I'm a man with a horse. I have an adventure. I have a beauty. And I have a sense of a battle. Take a look at this in Revelation chapter 19. It says, I saw heaven. I love this. You know, we could just stop there and go home. I saw heaven standing open. And there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on it that no one knows but he himself on his crown. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him. Look at what the armies of heaven are riding, folks. They are riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen. They are white and they are clean. I got a horse that's on its way for me. I got a white horse. I don't know about you, but just like you woke up today and it's Sunday, just like you woke up yesterday and it was Saturday, one of the days you're going to wake up and you're going to go, it's Revelation Day. You're going to see white horses. You got a horse, guys? Have you got a horse? I've got one. I've got a horse. And I'm ready to man up. I'm ready. I'm ready for the battle. Before Satan takes me out, I'll take him out. I said that to someone the other day. We've been working on Judgment House. We're about to tell a story about heaven and hell. My wife and I went home the other day, and I didn't even know who to call. We were under such spiritual oppression, I didn't even know what to do. It was so thick we could feel it, and both of us looked at each other and said, I don't want to go outside. I don't want to do anything. We both looked at each other and I said, this is spiritual oppression. I wanted to call in the church, but I didn't know how to even ask. Maybe some of you knew it, and you were praying for us anyway that day. I had never felt something that heavy. I haven't felt something that heavy in years. And I said, I know what this is. We're about to see people leave the gates of hell and find Christ as their Savior. Now, you come into my house and you take my children, I guarantee you I'm right behind you with my 12-gauge. I'm right behind you with my cell phone going 911. They got my kids. I guarantee you I will do whatever it takes to get my kids back. And the Bible says in 1 John that the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and those who lie are his children. And the Bible says anyone without Christ are going into that place without Christ. And you go in and you take those children out who are originally God's. Adam broke it. God fixed it. You start rescuing kids, someone's going to be upset that you were in their house. I love the old singer, David Meese. David Meese was a great, great Christian singer, and he said, some people want to live in the sound of chapel bells. I want to build my mission 3 feet from the gates of hell. So, that's what we're doing. I invite you to join us. I invite you to join us changing lives. We'll have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people paying money to come hear about Jesus that wouldn't come through a church door because it's a haunted house. It's a judgment house. It's a place for them to hear about Christ. I invite you to join us. Pastor Ron invites you. Here's the deal. We have people that pray for us and intercede. Our home group, we have board members here that pray for us every day. Pastor Ron has been working to connect people so you don't feel alone in times like that. See, you shouldn't ride alone. And so right after service, there are going to be people out here with their pictures. Go say hi to them. Meet them. We're trying to connect you with home groups. We're trying to connect you with family so that you can do this together. But here it is. Reach someone with us. Reach someone with us. Let's stand and pray.